We are in the book of Mark, chapter 7, and we are going to start from verse 1.
Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?
Now here we see, and so the Pharisees, scribes, they are coming and finding fault with Jesus Christ's disciples. And what was the fault? They are saying, when we see your disciples coming from the marketplace and they do not wash their hands, that means they are defiled and they are not holding the tradition of the elders. Now see, when you say tradition of the elders, that means it is not based on the Bible. They made their own laws. Like this is not Mosaic law. This law was made by them. Some other churches, they have their own tradition, which is not in the Bible. And so they start saying, why do you do this? And they said, when they come from the marketplace, they wash their hands, they wash their cups, and they wash their vessels, wash their tables. Now, these people might be going in a marketplace to do the business. So like a sidewalk sale or garage sale or whatever, we take our own tables and to keep the stuff in there and to sell it. So many people touch the stuff and the cups and whatever the stuff they had. Now they have to make them sanctified. So they have to wash the tables, wash some of the cups and some of the stuff. And so they were doing these kind of things. And they were saying, why your disciples are not doing it? Now somebody will think, why Jesus' disciples were dirty, were using their dirty hands to eat the bread? No. But they had certain kinds of rituals. They had to wash their feet, they had to wash their hands certain way. If you wash only this way and start eating the bread, it's not enough. They will say you didn't wash it. Or sometimes they have to take a bath. And so they take a bath and wash their hands several times and their feet and whatever the vessels they had. And that's what they were complaining to Jesus Christ. And he said, why your disciples are not doing this? Verse 6.
He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Jesus Christ is saying, in book of Isaiah, talked about this thing, about your behavior. You people do not do the commandments of God, but you do the rituals or the tradition of men. So read Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13.
Wherefore the Lord said, Forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men.
Sometimes people go to church, they clap their hands, they sing, and they raise their hands and everything. But when they go home, they're the same. They do not change. He says the people come to worship in a synagogue, and they are talking about godly thing and opening their mouth and praising me, but their heart is away from me. And they are doing the commandments of men, not the commandments of God. Mark chapter 7. Verse 8.
For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death.
He's saying, You people do the commandments of men. Means they have man-made tradition, man-made commandments. And he's saying, You are trying to force people. It's not necessary. But you're giving the commandment to the people, which is man-made commandment and not godly commandment. And now he's giving an example. He says, in a Mosaic law was given that you have to honor your father and your mother. And if they disobey parents, that person should be put to death. Book of Exodus chapter 21, and start reading verse 15 and verse 17.
And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death.
If you hit your mother or father, that person should be put to death. Now, today's society, children are killing mother and father. Mother and father do not have to hit them. They are killing mother and father. And not only that, some of the children wants to divorce mother and father. In this 21st century, they want to divorce mother and father. They want other fathers and other mothers, and they do not want this mother and father. So this is the wrong freedom people have. And the Jewish law was very, very strict. Verse 17.
And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death.
See, first of all, he says, if you hit your mother or father, you should be killed. Or if you cursing even, say bad things to your mother or father, that person should be put to death. Just like now we have death penalty, and when you take the death penalty away, and that's why the people killing children, killing anybody, not one but 10 people they can kill, and still there is no death penalty. And so people got freedom to do what they want to do. But the Bible says, if you kill the man, then you should be killed. There was a death penalty. Jesus believed in death penalty. Jewish people got a softer law. It's not a biblical law. They made their own law. Start making a new law. Let's read Mark chapter 7, verse 11.
But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother.
See, he says, it's very easy now. What you're doing to these children, when they do something to their mother and father, cursing or beating, they just have to go to the priest and say, this is what I have done. They said, okay, bring some gift. Kurban means give some, bring some sacrifice. And they will say goat or whatever they want to sacrifice. And bring that thing. And if you bring this gift to the Lord, and God will forgive. So they had a lot of respect to the priests. So they said, okay, the priest forgives you. And so I'm not going to tell them to put you, for the death penalty. That's okay. Because sometimes mother and father, they are a little bit soft on their children. They don't want their children to be dying. So they will say, okay, if you can give some sacrifice and some gift, then you will be set free. And Jesus Christ is saying, this is what you people do. You are telling me my disciples are not washing their hands and eating, and you have the wrong tradition. And he gave an example. It's a very good example. Your children, when they disobey, Bible says they should be killed, even that they hit mother and father or curse mother and father. But what you're saying, oh, you don't have to have death penalty. Just bring some gift and everything will be all right. So he said, that's why you people changing the law. And that is not God's law. That is your man-made tradition. Okay, verse 13.
Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye.
Now he's saying, that's why what you're doing, disobeying God, making the man-made tradition. And he said, I don't have time to give you all the list, but there are so many things you people are doing it and changing the word of God or changing the law. Okay, verse 14.
And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand.
Now, I don't know, he was in the synagogue or outside, and there were so many people. So now he said, hey, everybody, come here, come close. I want to tell you something. And everybody, he called them, and now he wanted to give them the lecture. And see what he's saying.
There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable.
Now here what happened, he called the people, and he told them, if anything goes through your mouth, it will not defile you. Now people took this scripture and start saying, that means you can take marijuana through your mouth, you can take any kind of drugs or anything, and it will not harm you. Jesus Christ was not saying this. He was saying about the food. Any food you take through your mouth, that food will be digested, because we have good digesting system if you are healthy. But I'm just saying, our stomach can digest any kind of food. So he's saying, what you take food in your mouth, it will be digested and it will go other way. And so he says, that will not defile any person. Disciple didn't understand what he was trying to say. He said very simple thing, but he did not explain very plainly. He's just saying, anything goes to your mouth, it will not defile you. But anything comes out of your mouth, it will defile you. So they didn't understand, so they are coming and saying, please explain to us what you said. Verse 18.
And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats.
He said, you don't understand what I was trying to say. When you eat, you digest and it's gone, that will not defile you. Means whatever food we eat, that food is sanctified. So he was talking about food, nothing else. Okay, verse 20.
And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness.
All of these things, he says, comes from your heart. And that can defile you. Whatever the man thinks, that's the way the person is. So whatever you have in, it will come out of your mouth. So he says, all these sinful activities comes out of the heart of man. If you read in Galatians chapter 5 and read from verse 19 to 21, there doesn't say comes from your heart, but it says this is the works of the flesh. Means the man will do it with his body, use his body to do all of these things. And so Jesus Christ says it comes from your heart, the similar things, but you can use all these things, what you do with your body, that will defile you also. Galatians chapter 5, starting from 19.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
So indirectly, if your heart is defiled, your body is defiled, your mouth is defiled, your body is defiled. And if you are defiled, that means you cannot go to heaven. But Paul especially says, if you do all of these things, you will go to hell. You will not enter into the kingdom of God, or you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. Now, it is in the Bible. The Bible says, don't defile your body. And now, if you say, if there is nowhere it says, don't smoke cigarette, then why are you telling me don't smoke cigarette? I said, Holy Spirit and God is much smarter than you. If God would have said, don't smoke cigarette, even though it was in future, they would have changed the name to cigarette to lollipop or candy. And so they will say, oh, I'm not smoking cigarette, I'm just putting the candy in my mouth. If there was a name, cigarette, they will not say change to candy or change to some kind of beautiful name. But God is much smarter. So what God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, he says, don't you know you are the temple of the living God? And if any man defiles the temple of God, he says, God himself will destroy him. What a strong language. God himself will destroy him if you defile the temple. That's why Jesus Christ says, if you start saying something bad thing coming from your heart, that heart will defile your temple or body. That means you will not go to heaven. The same idea Paul is saying, if you do all of those things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does it mean? If you don't go to kingdom of God, where do you go? There is only one place, hell. Heaven and hell. There is no third place. Third place was invented by a Catholic priest called purgatory. It's not in the Bible. And so the word of God is saying, if you do this filthy thing, there is no other way. There is no third place, heaven or hell. If you're not going to heaven, you're going to go to hell. Okay, let's go back to the book of Mark, chapter 7, 24.
And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid.
Jesus Christ may be talking to these people, got tired and weary. So he said, let me go quietly without telling anybody where I'm going. So he went to one house. He didn't say what house, whose house. Or silently he went, but the word of God says he was not able to hide from people because people were always watching, like a newsman. They go after you wherever you go. If you are rich and famous, they will camp outside of your house. Where you go, to whom you talk, what kind of traveling you do, what shop you go, whatever you do, they will be after you. So in those days, there were some people like these news people. They will find out somewhere, somehow. And so he did not announce people. He did not announce even his disciples. He thought, I'm going to go to somebody's house quietly, but he was not able to hide himself. So it's what happened. Let's read. Verse 25.
For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter.
Now this lady, I don't know how she came to know, but she was watching that I want to go to Jesus and I want to talk to him. Now if you remember last time we heard that Greek people came and they wanted to see Jesus, but those people were Jewish people. But this lady is not a Jewish. She is from a different nation. But the word of God is going around the world. And somehow she came to know that Jesus Christ can cast the devil out of my daughter. And so she comes to him. The word of God says, the verse 25, he says, she fell on his feet. That means she worshipped him. And she was so humbly touching his feet and worshiping, and very gently she is saying, my daughter, young daughter, maybe teenager, my young daughter is possessed by demon. Could you please cast out that demon out of her? That's the simple request she gave. But see what Jesus said to her.
But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs.
Now when somebody hears this, they will be angry at Jesus. They will say, this lady comes, fell on Jesus' feet, worshipped him, gave a simple request. My child is tormented by the devil. Could you please cast the devil out? Jesus has the power to do it. Why he didn't do it? Because the word of God says, Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And his first job to go to children of Israel and do signs and wonders and miracles and bring them to God. That was his mission. That's why he never left the country and he never went to another country and other places. He could have gone, but he wanted to prove it to these people, I came to you. And St. John chapter 1 verse 11, he says, he came to his own and his own received him not. But still Jesus Christ was proving to these people, I came to you. One of the chapters we read, those people start saying, he has a Beelzebul, he does everything from the power of devil. And when Jesus Christ says, you will not see me. So he said, oh, he might be going to foreign country. That's what they were accusing. That's why Jesus Christ wanted to let these people know, I'm not going to any foreign country. I came for you and I'm going to die for you. And that's what his mission was. Even his disciples, when he sent them two by two, he said, do not go to any other country. Just go to the children of Israel, the lost sheep of Israel, and don't go to anybody's place. And so those days, they were treating like a Samaritan. They didn't have any dealing with Samaritan, Jewish and Samaritan. So he wanted these people to hear the gospel. But this lady is completely foreign. And so he's saying, now these people were telling foreigners, they are not the children of God. Now all the time we see Hindus or Muslims or Jewish or Christian, we are all the children of God. And certain way it's right, but in the Bible, the word of God says in St. John chapter 8, verse 44, there are children of devil and there are children of God. And then he says, well, who are the children of devil? He says the people who listen to their father who is the devil and their followers of devil, they are the children of devil. And who follows Jesus Christ and God the Father, they are the children of God. But in those days they were saying, not only children of devil, they will say they are dogs. Like today Muslim people are saying, the Israeli peoples are pigs and dogs. And so similar things, they might be treating those people before, the foreigners are dogs. So he simply says, just like that was a tradition, and they will not feel bad because that's the way the Jewish people are treating them. So he said, I came here to the children of Israel, so I want to give this, the word of God is the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life, and so he wanted to give this bread to the children of Israel. So he says, I cannot take this word of God or bread of life and give it to the dogs. In another way also, if you take it literally, if you have a children, you should feed your children first, not the dogs and cats. Now people today, they keep the dogs and cats in their house, some of the dogs biting or eating their babies. Still, they love the dogs and cats. Some of the people keeping the python in their house, and the python is killing their baby. So now the people are brainwashed. They're thinking animals are better than children. They can kill the babies, abort the babies, But if you beat the cat or dogs are killed, you will go to jail. And so here Jesus Christ is saying, I have sent to this my children of Israel, and my job to heal them, teach them, and give them the food. And then, if I have time, then we'll give to the dogs. You remember what Jesus Christ said to his disciples? Don't go to any other foreign country or any other places. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. And then he said, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you fill with the Holy Spirit, then you will be my witnesses. The word of God is for the children of God first. That's what he said. But the lady didn't get angry. She didn't say, I walked this many miles and I came here thinking that you are a good man and you have compassion with children. I learned a lot about you that you heal so many people, leprosy and blind and deaf and all kinds of things. Is it hard for you to just heal my child? Don't you love the children? And I heard that you said, oh, let the children come to me because the children can see the kingdom of God. And I heard all of these things. And how can you say this to me and insult me? And no, I'm going to get all these Greek people. I'll bring all these people and we are going to say, he is against Grecian people. He doesn't want to heal our people. We will see how you do the ministry. But that lady was so humble. See what kind of answer she gave it to him. Verse 28.
And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs.
See, again she said, Yes, Lord. She's still thinking, you're the Lord, you're the master, you're God. Say anything. I'm not offended. I'm not sorry because I know this is the way these people treat me. And you did not say anything new. But I'm not angry at you, but let me give you some example. If you have a puppy and if you have a children eating on the tables, because the puppy, they don't put it outside. Big dog, they might be keeping outside, but puppy stays in the house. So the children are eating and any crumb falls, the puppy is going to eat. And so she said, I'm not asking the whole bread. I'm just asking just the crumb. So she was still humble, and Jesus Christ liked the answer. And see what Jesus said to her.
And he said unto her, For this saying go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter.
See, he said, I like you what he said. Now, because you said this, because you are not angry, because you are not demanding, and you want to be so humble and say, I'm dog, I'm a puppy. Let me eat the crumb. Can you give me at least crumb? I'm not asking the whole bread. And that's the kind of prayer we should be doing. My children never demanded anything. My daughter or my son, they would say, are we going for shopping? What do you want? They will not say anything. Just say, what regular things? Buy whatever you want, regular things. But my wife, when we go, and Priscilla was small, when we find a one dress, we will find how many colors we have in that dress. We will buy all of those. So we took care of our children without their asking us anything. Why? They were good children. And so here, Jesus Christ saw this lady, so humble, so nice, and not demanding anything. He says, because you said so. He did not even pray. He said, go home. Your daughter is already healed. Demon is already out. How it happened? He did not pray. He did not cast the demon. He knew once your heart is belong to God, God will take care of you.
And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed.
Now see, she did not say, you didn't say anything, the devil, to get out. Why don't you come to my house and lay hand on my baby, on my daughter, and cast the devil? She believed If Jesus said it, it's done. That's what it is. When somebody calls for prayer and I pray and I say, it's done. The centurion said, you say the word and my servant will be healed. That's the kind of faith I'm developing in my church members and the people who I meet. One man said, my wife is very sick. Now, he's a rich man and he could afford to take me to his house or, you know, give me a ride and back and forth. So I said, let's pray. And I prayed. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. I prayed. And then man went home that evening. The lady says, you know, I was taking a shower 10 o'clock and all of a sudden I got healed. Think, Pastor Peter was praying with me at that time. And exactly time, God healed. So point I'm making, when we pray, we believe that God heard our prayer. One time one person wrote me a letter and he's writing, but he's negative. He wrote me a letter. Those days I didn't have the phone. And so he wrote me a letter, my wife is dying. As you read this letter, she might be dead. Now, if you read that kind of letter, why are you replying that person? When I'm reading that lady is already dead, why am I writing the letter? But I believed I'm going to pray. I took the letter and put my hand and said, Lord, send your word and heal that lady. And I wrote a letter. I didn't have a phone. So I wrote a letter. In that letter, I said, as you read this letter, you will be healed. And once you get healed, I want reply from your own handwriting. And I believed. And the lady wrote me a letter. I am healed. I did exactly what you said. I am completely healed. When you come to Bombay, please come to my house. And she gave me the address and everything. So the point I'm making, we have to believe. Even the doctor says or anybody says, this person is dying and is not going to live. You just trust in God. And once you believe, things will happen. And so this lady goes home and she sees her daughter lying in bed. From that I know the girl was not sleeping on a bed. You remember we saw one demon-possessed man? They used to chain him and tie him down. He used to break everything and run to the burial grounds and mountains, and nobody was able to tame him. This little girl might be doing the same. Now she's calm. The tormenting spirit on her head. You remember some people, they hear noises in their head. They get tormented. They have no peace. They cannot sleep. But this girl was now calm and sleeping. The mother might have said, wow, my daughter is now home and lying down and the devil is gone. She believed it. So that's the way it works. Mark 7:31.
And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him.
Now, people already waiting for him to do some miracle. Now, this time, they got a man who is deaf and dumb. And they're telling him what to do. These people are saying, please, we are begging you, lay your hands on this person and then heal. Some people can say, just speak the word and be healed. These people said, how to heal? They know how you can do it. So sometimes the man of God has to have some kind of freedom, how to pray and what to do. They told him what to do, but Jesus did something differently. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 33.
And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue.
They wanted Jesus to lay hand and be healed. Jesus said, okay, you people stay here. He took him out of the crowd. He took him aside and then took a spit and touched his tongue and put his finger in his ear. And verse 34, he was saying, these people are wearing me out. I'm tired and weary, but he believed it's done. And see what happens. Start reading from verse 34.
And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain.
Some people cannot talk. Their tongue is tightened. The devil has made their ear deaf. And so I had this experience. I mean, the children, like a 4 year, 5 years, 6 years old, they don't talk. And when I went to one place and this 5, 6 years old child, they said, he's not talking. I didn't take the spit, but I told the child, open the mouth and I touch his tongue and prayed and start say, talk, and that child start talking. And several years later when I went, they said, oh, this is the child was not talking. Now he talks, he goes to school and everything. I was coming to USA first time, and my younger brother's son was not talking. He was also maybe 6 years old or 7 years old, I forgot. He says, could you please pray for this child? He doesn't talk. I did the same thing. I touched his tongue and prayed for him. And now he's big enough and talking and talking and talking. So point I'm making, we learn from Jesus. Whatever Jesus does, we can do it. I prayed for many deaf people. I'm the only Christian. I'm not there to train them to what to say. So this Christian brother told him, why don't you go? You cannot hear, right? Why don't you go and see what happens? So he comes and says, what I did, just put my finger in his ears and I prayed and be healed. He says, I heard like somebody slapping on my face, came to the stage and said, I did not believe, but this is what happened. I got some slap on my face and I'm able to hear. So the point I'm making, God heals today. Deaf or dumb or anything is nothing impossible with God. God heals today. When Jesus did it and he said, you can do it. And so we should not be afraid. We should be praying for people and God will do the same. That person was healed, was able to hear, and he was talking plain. Means not stuttering or anything. What does it mean? When God heals, he heals completely.
And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak.
But Jesus said, don't tell. That's the time many people advertise. You can see from this chapter, there are several things Jesus Christ did. And we learned something. Like Father, like Son. Whatever my Father does, I do. Whatever Jesus does, I will do. So our job is telling people, listen, whatever sickness you have, whatever pain you have, whatever disease you have, you spend the money, come to church. If God heals you, will you come to church? That's what you have to say. We praying for people to make them children of God. Okay, so let's pray. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. Thank you for coming in our service and teaching us what to do when the problem arises. You have done signs and wonders and miracles. And you have given us the same authority to do the same. Give us that deep faith in our spirit so we can do the same. Give us grace to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.